Hebrews chapter number 12 this morning. I want you to look at verse number 1 through verse number 3. The writer of Hebrews, which I believe was the Apostle Paul, said, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Notice the writer here says we must run with patience the race that is set before us. Every person here, God has set a race before you. And you need to realize that you will finish the race. The race of life, everybody runs. For some, the race is short. For others, it may seem like a marathon. But one day, we will all cross the line. The tape will be broken, and we will enter into eternity. And we all are on a race towards eternity. And he said, "Because we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him," the Bible says, that endured such contradiction of sinners against themselves, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we look at your word today, I pray that each and every one of us would consider this great passage of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to consider the race that you have set before each and every person that is here. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to finish well. As we look around our society, we see that many have started the race of life, and they have not finished well. But Lord, while we have opportunity, let's lay hold of first the life eternal, and then, Lord, help us, Lord, to run the proper way. We ask and pray, Lord, that you'd do a great work in our lives today. Lord, I pray that you'd save those that are lost. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage those that are saved. We'll give you the praise and glory for everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, the Bible says that we are in a race. Each and every one of us are in a race. We're in a race against time. And time is running out for all of us. Even the Apostle Paul said that we are nearer our salvation than when we first believed. We're in a race against the forces of darkness. And the devil realizes that his time is short and he is working overtime to do all that he can to hinder us from the race that is set before us. It is not only a race against time and a race against the darkness of this world, but it is a race that finishes in eternity. The race of life will be finished by all. Whether you are educated or uneducated, whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you've been born on the one side of the tracks or the others, regardless of what race you are, everybody is going to finish the race of life one way or another. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men, once to die, but after this, the judgment." Each and every one of us will finish that race. The Apostle Paul said, "I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." You know, not everybody can say that. Not everybody can say that they have finished well. In the Bible, I think of Cain. What an opportunity he had. The very last thing we find about Cain was he was exiled to wander in the land of Nod. The land of wanderings, it means. We find that the Bible doesn't record anything good about Cain. What a way to end. Had great opportunity to start right. I think of King Saul. And King Saul had great opportunities to finish well. He had the man of God right there by him, anointed by Samuel, and he had a great opportunity to finish well, and he finished by consulting the witch of Endor and dying in battle and going off into eternity. He did not finish well. I think of in the New Testament, a man by the name of Demas. And Demas is mentioned three times in the Scripture. The Apostle Paul talked about how that he was his fellow laborer, fellow helper in the Lord. And then it just says Demas the second time chronologically. And the last time it's mentioned, Demas is mentioned, it says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Nothing ever more is said about Demas. You know what that tells me? Some people, they start off with great opportunity and they do not finish well. When I finish, whenever that may be, it may be today. I don't know. You do not know when you're going to finish. But I do want to finish well. I want to be like the Apostle Paul that said, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. When I get done and I am done with the race that God has set before me, I want Him to look down upon me, and when I cross the finish line, and He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And I believe that every child of God ought to have that in their life and that in their thoughts as they press toward the mark. I want to finish well. This morning I'd like to have you consider the race that we're all in. There's a popular show that's on the one-eyed monster in your living room called The Amazing Race. And they travel around the world and they see who can finish first. Every season someone finishes first, but I'm here to tell you that they don't all finish well. And we as individuals, I believe that we need to go ahead and make sure that we finish well. And as we consider this passage, I want you to consider with me four things about this and about finishing the race that God has set before you. Whether young or old, whether educated or uneducated, whether black or white, or regardless of what race or religion, we all need to make sure we finish well. Amen? I want you to consider several things. Look at verse number 1. I want you to consider, first of all, the witnesses at the race. The witnesses at the race. Verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want you to consider, first of all, those who are spectators and those who are watching us run the race. You say, who are they, preacher? They're those that are listed in Hebrews chapter number 11. Turn it back to Hebrews. You got your Bible? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad we're a Bible-believing church. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter number 11. I want you to notice these individuals who are the great compass or the great cloud of witnesses that are encompassing us. It says in chapter number 11 that these witnesses that are watching us run, in verse number 1, they ran and obtained a good report. In verse number 4, we find that Abel, he was one of the witnesses. And the Bible says, by faith he obtained a good witness. He obtained witness that he was righteous. In verse number 5, it talks about by faith Enoch was translated. In verse number 7, by faith Noah was warned of God and he prepared his family and he built an ark. We find in verse number 8 that by faith Abraham was called to leave his home country and move to a place that he had never seen before and to follow God. We find in verse number 20, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. In verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed his sons, the sons of Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses was born. And we find several verses there that talks about how that God used Moses, and Moses is a man who lived and walked by faith. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. By faith the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. By the way, that was a step of faith. And all of a sudden Moses stretched out the rod over the sea and the waters departed and they stood up as a wall and they walked through on dry ground. Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw a wall of water over here about 90 foot tall and a wall of water over here about 90 foot tall and God says, I want you to walk between it, that would be a step of faith for me, amen? And anybody that would say that that is not a step of faith, I think they're lying. Goes on and it talks about all these individuals. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not, verse number 31. Look at verse 33. In verse 33, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. You know, history records that Isaiah, they couldn't shut the old prophet up, so they shoved him inside of a log, and they took a saw, and they cut the log in half and killed him. You say, preacher, that's horrible. It is. But by faith he served God. Amen? The Bible says there in verse number 37, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And I'm here to tell you today, the world is not worthy of those who serve God effectively. Those who lay down their life, it's a great thing to lay down your life for your country, but I'm here to tell you, it's a far greater thing to lay down your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are those that are the great cloud of witnesses that are watching us run the race? They are all of those individuals who by faith finished well. And I believe that they're standing in the portals of heaven and they're watching Brother Walker run. And they're watching Pastor Bicklehop run. And they're watching Derek run. And they're watching Dion run. And they're watching as we run the race of life. And by the grace of God, we should go ahead and make sure that we do not disappoint those who are watching as we run the race of life. Amen? Not only are they those that have watched, or those who have finished well, and they all ran the race by faith. But I believe that that great a cloud of witnesses that the Apostle Paul is talking about here are not only those that have gone home to be with the Lord, but that great cloud of witnesses that compass us are those that are alive today and watching us as Christians run. Dads and moms, listen to me. You only get one chance with your children. And your children are watching you run. Grandmas and grandpas, your grandchildren are watching you run. And we live in a society today where those individuals, their parents, the grandparents, they think they're accountable to no one. They can live any way they want to and it's not going to affect anyone. And I'm here to tell you every decision that we make today affects someone we come in contact with. We better make sure that we run faithfully and we better make sure that we finish well. Amen. I want you to notice the Apostle Paul said, know ye not that they which run a race run all but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain, the Bible says. And he says in a few verses later in verse 26 and 27, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The Apostle Paul said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and run the race that God has set before me. I'm going to go ahead and run it in such a way that I'm not become a mockery to those who are watching me. I'm going to go ahead and fight the good fight of faith so that those that follow me are going to understand that I'm not just a shadow boxer beating the air, but there is something that is my goal. I want you to understand this. Whether those that are in heaven that are watching or those that are around us. Number one, they are watching how we run. They are watching how we run. Christian, your children are watching how you run. They're watching how you live your life. They're watching very closely your inconsistencies. What inconsistencies you have, though you may think they're small. What parents do in moderation, children will do in excess. Someone once said that we are only one generation away from barbarianism. That's what's happening to our society today. We have kicked God out of our schools and out of our churches, out of our country. We're telling our children that they are nothing more than a product of random chance evolution. It's no wonder they're acting like a bunch of apes. Amen? After all, that's what they're being taught. We're just a little higher on the evolutionary chain than the chimpanzees that are swinging through the trees. And we wonder why. We wonder why that all of a sudden we've got an insurgence of all the shootings and the violence and the things that are going on in society. It's because we have been teaching our children that it doesn't make any difference. When you die, and that's it. And it's so wrong. I'm here to tell you, people are watching how we run. Whether it's those that are in heaven or those here on earth, they are not only watching, but they are exhorting as we draw near. They're exhorting as we draw near. I believe that those individuals, and as we are closing down the gap of time between now and eternity, and I believe it's very, very short when the Lord is going to come back, I believe that those that are in heaven are cheering us on. You see, what are they saying, preacher? I believe they're saying, don't quit! Keep on going! Keep on running for God! Don't turn back! Don't sit down! Go ahead and run the race with patience that God has set before you. And that's what they're saying. They're cheering us on as we're drawing close to the finish line. They cheer us as we finish well. And I believe as we cross the finish line, I believe that there are those that are there rejoicing as we cross over. I was reading through the book of Luke, and when Lazarus died, the Bible says, and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. Now, I'll not get into a big theological discussion as far as what Abraham's bosom is, but I'm here to tell you, he passed over where God was at. Amen. And I'm here to tell you this. As the angels came flying in with that beggar man by the name of Lazarus, I believe the saints of God were saying, yay! Praise the Lord! Lazarus has come! He is here! What are they going to say when you enter in? Amen. I hope they don't say, well, Rick just showed up. I hope there'll be a grand welcome. Number one, I want you to consider the witnesses. The witnesses that are watching us run the race of life. Number two, I want you to consider the hindrances to the race. The Bible says in verse number one, because we're compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. You know, weights are things in a race that will hinder you. Whether if you're on the drag strip, you're going to try to make that car as light as possible. Whether if you are running a foot race, you're going to try to go ahead. I don't see too many people that run a foot race with army boots on. Amen. I don't see too many people that run a foot race with farmer's boots on, amen, or hip waders. They find the lightest, most comfortable shoes with spikes on them, so that they can go ahead and run without any type of encumbrance whatsoever. We're to lay aside every weight. It is that which holds us back. You know, it might not be sinful. Brother Jeff touched on this. I thought he was going to preach my message last night, as he began to preach to the teenagers. But it might not be something sinful, but it is something that slows us down for the Lord. It might be your job. It might be a hobby. It might be social activities. Regardless of what it is, if it keeps you from serving God, it is something that is hindering you from running the race, and you need to go ahead and chuck it and get rid of it. Amen? We're to lay aside every weight. Jesus preached about the good seed falling among thorns and the cares of this life sprung up and choked it out to where it became unprofitable. You know, that's a weight. I've known people that's gotten so involved in their hobbies, they didn't have time to go to church. They got so involved in all of their recreation of life that God was put on the back burner, and they suffered, and their family suffered, and the church suffered, and their children suffered. The cause of Christ suffered because of it. John the Beloved warned us in 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 15. He said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We are not to love the world. John also said that the whole world lieth in wickedness, 1 John 5 and verse number 19. We are not only to lay aside every weight, but listen, if we are going to finish well, we must lay aside that besetting sin. You say, what in the world is that? I looked up the word beset. And I think probably the best way to illustrate the word beset is to give you a physical demonstration. All right? And let's see. Kyle, I want you to come up here for a minute. I'm going to use you as an illustration. Come up here for a minute. I want you to stand right here. Stand right here. Good looking young man, isn't he? All right? Now, the word besetting sin has a very important illustration. I need some big guys. Brother Mark, Brother Don, and let's see, Danny, come on up here. I want you to stand. And I want you to stand around Kyle as close as you can. All right? I want you to hem him in. Don't let him out. Now, Kyle, I want you to try to run. Run! Run! Run, Kyle, run! He's not getting anywhere. He has been beset. You may all sit down. Now, the word beset means this. It means to be thwarted as in a race. The word beset means to thwart or to hinder from every direction. And that's exactly what happened with Kyle. And Kyle was here and he was hemmed in. And regardless of which way he tried to go this way and he tried to go this way and he ran into this hindrance. And that's what happens. And the Bible says that we are to lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. I believe every person here today, individually, you probably have one sin in particular, that's keeping you from serving God effectively. I don't know what that sin is, and I'm not here to call out your sin. But you know what that sin is, and God knows what that sin is, and the Holy Spirit of God is telling you what that sin is right now, and you cannot run the race of God effectively because you are being thwarted by that besetting sin. You are being hemmed in, and as you try to run the race that God has set before you, you cannot, because of the simple fact that sin, that one sin, is dominating your life. That might be the sin of alcohol, it might be the sin of gossip, it might be the sin of lying, it might be the sin of stealing, it might be the sin of adulterous thoughts, but listen, that one thing, whatever it might be, it is keeping you from serving God effectively. And we need to lay aside those things so that we can run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen? We are to consider the hindrances. I remember when I was in Bible college, the professors at the Bible college warned the young preachers about the three W's. They said, you make sure you stay clear of the three W's. And I thought, what in the world are the three W's? And then they began to explain. You make sure that you don't keep your eyes focused on wealth, on worldliness, and on women. Because those three things will destroy a minister. And we know from the news and maybe even from personal experience, we know people that one of these three things have destroyed a man of God. I'm here to tell you, we need to consider the hindrances. What sin is keeping you from serving God? What sin is it that you're holding on to that's keeping you today from getting saved? I've talked to so many people, they said, you know what, preacher, I'd go ahead and get saved, but you know what, I really don't want to let go of this one thing. I just really love this sin too much, and I've had people tell me that. I really don't want to get saved because I know that if I got saved, I'd have to give this up, and I don't want to do that. The Bible says, what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm here to tell you, there is nothing worth hanging on to that's going to send you to hell. There is nothing worth hanging on to that's going to send you to hell. I want you to consider with me this morning the third thing. Not only should we consider the witnesses at the race that are watching us run, not only should we consider the hindrances to the race as we run, but we ought to consider the pace of the race. We ought to consider the pace of the race. You know, I've said many times, I would rather go ahead and burn out than rust out. I would. I'd rather go down in a blaze of glory. But the older I get, the more I understand, I want to keep that blaze of glory as far off in the distance as possible. Amen? I remember when I was a freshman in high school, I actually started running track as a junior high student. I could not compete with the high school kids in track meets because they just wouldn't let me do it. But I was running with the seniors as an eighth grader. And finally, I got a chance to compete in track as a freshman. And I remember they put me in every event possible. I even had a chance to pole vault. Never did very well at it, but it was a lot of fun. And I remember I loved the sprints. And I loved the short races. I was good at it. I did well. And I, as an eighth grader, I was keeping up with the seniors. And they said, you know what, Rick? Today we're going to go ahead and put you in the quarter mile. And I usually did fairly well in the quarter. And then one day they come up and said, Rick, we're going to put you in the half mile. I said, I'm not a distance runner. They said, we want you to run the half mile. I says, I don't want to run the half mile. That's a guts race. And I mean, after about 600 yards, your guts feel like you've got to get rid of them through your throat. You know, just, I hated it. So I says, okay, I'm going to give it my all. On your mark. Get set. Gun went off, and I was out of the blocks. And I remember as I was coming around, I was leading the pack as a freshman. And I was making the third corner, and I saw the split coming. And as you cross the finish line, which is for the half mile, it was, you get your split time. And I remember as I was coming, the coach was standing there with a stopwatch and calling off the times. 50, 51, 52, and as I was crossing the half or the quarter mile, he was calling out 55, 56, and I thought, good night, I've never run the quarter this fast before. I'm in a half mile. And I thought, I'm going to run this thing under 2 minutes. And man, I'm making good time and I'm going around and I'm, you know, 500 yards, 600 yards, and about 660 yards, all of a sudden my legs started feeling like jelly. And I'm running, and I'm all of a sudden everything starts slowing down and goes in slow motion. And about that time I'm going, I can't hardly move anymore. And as I'm making the last bend, I hear this behind me, and all of a sudden everybody starts passing me. And I come in about fifth or sixth, crawling across the finish line, all because of the simple fact I did not learn to pace myself as I ran. The Christian life isn't any different. I believe that we need to pace ourselves. Young people, get a plan to pace yourself. You need to set up a plan for your life, Christian. You need to set up a plan for reading your Bible every day. You need to set up a plan for prayer every day. You need to set up a plan for witnessing every day. You need to set up a plan for giving on a regular basis. If you do not take time and have a plan, you will fail in your Christian life. Consider the pace of the race. If you have no plan for yourself, you will not finish well. What's your plan for reading? What's your plan for praying? What's your plan for witnessing? What's your plan for giving? What's your plan for being involved? Consider the pace of the race. You know, there are some Christians that just have a popcorn mentality. They get heated up, they blow up, they puff up, and then they get blown away. I think we ought to endure longer than a piece of popcorn. Amen. I want to close with this. Look at verse 2 and 3. Not only should we consider the witnesses at the race, and we should consider the hindrances of the race, we should consider the pace of the race, but also I believe that we ought to consider the real motivation for the race that we're all in. I've heard people say, well, you know, preacher, I'm really motivated because I can't wait to see my mom and dad again. I can't wait when I cross the finish line, I'm going to see my grandma and grandpa. They were saved and they're in heaven. And one day, preacher, I'm going to be able to see them when I leave this world and go to heaven. You know, that's a wonderful thought. And I believe it's a true thought. I believe that one day we're going to be reunited with our loved ones. That is not the motivation for running the race. Say, well, preacher, I'm going to be so glad when all of the corruption is behind me and the evilness and the wickedness of this world is behind me, and I'm not going to ever have to go through all the pain and the suffering and the heartache and the difficulties of life. It's all going to be behind me, and I'm going to be so glad because I'm going to be in heaven and it's all going to be behind me, preacher. That's not the motivation for the race. Although that's true. It's true. No sin is ever going to enter in. There's never going to be any darkness there. It's going to be a wonderful place. Heaven is not the motivation for running the race. Leaving the difficulties of life and the pain and the heartache behind is not the motivation for the race. Seeing your loved ones again is not the motivation for the race. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Look at verse number 3. For consider Him. The motivation of the race is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that ought to motivate us. Not just heaven, although that's a motivating factor. Not just the fact that we're going to see our loved ones again, and that is a motivating factor. But the ultimate motivation, one day I'm going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that loved me and gave Himself for me. That ought to be motivation. Amen? He's the author of the race. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, the Word of God. God said, let there be light. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The world still doesn't understand it. Never will. The Bible says in Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things are created in heaven and earth, and visible, whether it be visible or invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That tells me this, Christian. He's the author of life. He created life. He is the finisher of our faith. In John chapter number 19 and verse number 30, Jesus Christ was hanging upon the cross of Calvary, and after they spit on Him and rejected Him, after they nailed Him to a cross, after they mocked Him and scourged Him, He hung on the cross and He said this, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. He is the finisher of our faith. Christian, listen. We need to consider the motivation for the race. He finished in spite of the cross. Look what it says. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. They say that the cross is one of the most horrible type of deaths that a person could ever experience. It's actually death by suffocation. And as they hung on the cross, the body would start filling up with bodily fluids and they would be nailed there on the cross and their knees would be out bent. And every breath, they'd have to lift themselves up. And that's why they came along and the Roman soldiers took a club and they would break their legs. So they no longer could lift themselves up to get a breath. They came to Jesus Christ and He was already gone. He finished in spite of the cross. He finished in spite of the shame. Jesus Christ was shamefully treated. Shamefully. And yet He finished. He was mocked. He was spit upon. He was beaten. He finished in spite of the contradiction of sinners that was against Him. They cried out, "If You be the Christ, come down from the cross and we'll believe." But He still finished. Jesus finished God's plan of salvation so that you and I might have an opportunity to be a partaker of it. Because without Christ, I could not finish. Without Jesus Christ, you could not finish. He is the author of the race. He has given life. He is the finisher of the race. He has secured eternal life for each and every one of us. And then it says, consider Him. Christian, I believe that you need to consider Him today. If you're here today, you need to consider what Jesus Christ has done for you. Consider Him for salvation. And I believe that you and I ought to consider Him as the same person. We ought to consider Him with the manner of our life. The Apostle Paul said, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." That's your race. That's my race. Are you going to finish well? Mom and Dad, you going to finish well? Grandma and Grandpa, you going to finish well? Young people, you need to make sure you finish the race well. So I got the rest of my life, do you? We don't know that. You need to make sure you finish well. The Apostle Paul told the Philippians this, and I'm going to close with this verse, and listen. He said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Sounds like America, doesn't it? Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I'm here to tell you, child of God, we need to go ahead and run the race. We ought to please the One who started it and the One that will have the last say at the finish line. How about you? Are you saved today? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you're saved today, are you living for Him? Are you serving Him? Or is there a besetting sin that's keeping you from serving God? Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed as the instruments come to play through a verse of invitation. My friends, listen. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you ought to come today and get saved. If you know Christ as your Savior, but you're being hindered by that besetting sin, don't let it hem you in. Let Jesus Christ make you free. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you just bless us in a great way. Help us, I pray, to run the race. Help our missionary friends, I pray, that are over in the Philippines and, Lord, around the world. Help them, Lord, to finish well. Help us here, Lord, to finish well. I pray, Lord, you'd save those that are lost. Help those that are saved to sell out to Thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as the piano plays through a verse of invitation, the Lord has spoken to you. We invite you to come. Would you come this morning? Maybe it's just to come and say, Lord, here's a besetting sin in my life and I need help. Maybe you need to come this morning for baptism. Maybe you need to come for salvation. We invite you to come. Whatever the need may be, would you come if the Lord has spoken to you? Lord has spoken to you. We invite you to come today. Maybe it's just to come and pray. Maybe you've got a burden on your heart for a loved one. Is there a besetting sin in their life? We invite you to come. Maybe call out their name before God and say, Lord, help them. Help them, Lord, to finish well. How about you, Christian? Are you going to finish well today? I hope so. Let's all stand, please. Let's sing that chorus 313. I'll be true, precious Jesus, I'll be true. Hymn number 313. Let's sing that together. I'll be true, precious Jesus, I'll be true. I'll be true, precious Jesus, I'll be true. There's a race to be run, there's a victory to be won. Every hour by Thy power, I'll be true. I'll go through, precious Jesus, I'll go through. I'll go through, precious Jesus, I'll go through. There's a race to be run, there's a victory to be won. Every hour by Thy power, I'll be true. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We have one coming forward this morning.
Amen. Let's all stand together. 185. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. 185. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransoming glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages, sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Amen. You may be seated.
The Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We have with us this morning Seth O'Neill. And Seth, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Upon profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, bearing the likeness of Christ's death. Bearing the likeness of Christ's death. All right. Make sure you stick around and congratulate him on his decision. He says, boy, I'm really nervous. I says, I haven't lost a one yet. So, isn't that good news? And so thank the Lord for his decision. You make sure that you congratulate him on that. And please stick around for the food and the fellowship. Brother Joe, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and lead us in a word of prayer and ask to bless the food also. And then as soon as we're dismissed here, just go ahead and head right back into the fellowship hall. God bless you. Choir practice at a quarter till 5, 4:45. Drama team, Brother Mark?
4:30.
All right. And 4:45 and 4:30. Make sure you're here for that. Be back tonight. Brother Walker's bringing another message on Islam, correct?
I can.
Well, whatever you feel that you're led to do, okay? They'll be singing tonight. He'll be preaching tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Pray for Jeff and Jessica. They're heading out this afternoon to head back down to Tennessee. Pray that they'll have safety. Amen? All right. Also, one other prayer request. Joe Weibel called me this morning and said, please pray for Joanne. She's in the hospital. They thought she had a heart attack, but they ruled that out. But she has been having a lot of chest pain, so please pray for them if you would. All right?
Amen. Let's stand once again, and let's sing the first verse of hymn 63, What a Day That Will Be, hymn 63. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for what You've done today. And Lord, we thank You for changing lives. And Lord, I pray You help each and every one of us, Lord, to lay aside the thing, the weight, the sin that so easily besets us. Help us, Lord, to live the Christian life with victory, with our eyes on You. Lord, I just pray that You be with the Wyvils today. Lord, do a work in their lives and just help them, give them grace. Lord, I just pray that You bless the food that we're about to eat. Bless it to our bodies. Use it to Your will. And Lord, bring us back here safely tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. You are dismissed.